vigil of the Nativity of our Lord. There will be blessing of articles after Mass at the communion rail. This evening we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. The schedule for Christmas is tonight we will have the midnight Mass at midnight. The chapel will be open at 11 p.m. Tomorrow morning, Christmas Day, we will have a high Mass at 10 in the morning. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament on Christmas Day at 6 p.m. This is a reminder that if you will be assisting at the midnight Mass, be sure to get enough rest beforehand so that you can be attentive. Tuesday, after the 8:30 Mass, we will have the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Next Sunday, December 31st, the Mass will be at its usual time at 8 in the morning. But the next day, which is Monday, January 1st, which is the octave of the Nativity and a holy day of obligation, the Mass will be at 9 in the morning. No confessions will be heard on Saturday, December 30th, nor on Sunday, December 31st. And we want to thank those who donated for the bake sale last Sunday. The feast for this week, of course, tomorrow is the Nativity of our Lord. Tuesday is the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. Wednesday is the feast of St. John, the evangelist. Thursday is the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and Friday is the Feast of the great bishop and martyr, St. Thomas Becket. So just to review, a lot of announcements there. We have the blessing of articles today after Mass. We have benediction at 6 p.m. today. The midnight Mass is at midnight, but the chapel opens at 11 p.m., tomorrow, the High Mass is at 10 in the morning, and we have benediction to close the feast at 6 p.m. Remember to come, if you're coming tonight, make sure you get some rest so you're attentive. We will have the cleaning of the chapel on Tuesday instead of Monday, because Monday is Christmas. Next Sunday, the Mass at the usual time, 8 o'clock, but the next day on Monday, which is January 1st, the Mass is at 9 a.m., and we will not have any confessions heard until after New Year's. And thanks again to everyone for the bake sale. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he had promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was to be born to him according to the flesh of the offspring of David, who was foreordained Son of God by an act of power in keeping with the holiness of his Spirit, by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received the grace of apostleship, to bring about obedience to faith among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom are you also called to be Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wishing to expose her to reproach, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We've had this is a digression right after the beginning here. We've had sermons in the past about the feasts of this week, which of course are so overshadowed by Christmas that we never really talk about them. But these saints, as the liturgists say, are the saints picked by the church to surround our Lord in the creche set. So we have the first martyr of the church, marking that what we know about our Lord himself, that he came into this world and was persecuted right from the beginning. And here in the beginning of the church, we have our first martyr right there on the 26th. And then we have St. John, of course, the beloved disciple. And then the Holy Innocents. Again, the reminder that our Lord comes into the world. He's not only rejected by his own people, but the civil authorities turn on him, try to kill him, and in his place are these Holy Innocents. And then that same struggle between church and state, where the church, given its divine mission, is frustrated by civil authorities when they are not Catholic in spirit, even though he may be Catholic in name. Here we have St. Thomas Becket, and we say that because the king was Catholic. They had him killed. So, but that's all we can say about those saints, but you can see how important they are, even though we don't have a chance to speak about them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This day, and it is such a privilege. It's a privilege to be a Catholic. It's a privilege to be a priest. It's a privilege to, on top of all that, have an insight. That's you. That's me. We have an insight that has not been granted to everybody. And that insight has led us to be here now. And it has given us an impetus by grace to follow it. So the first thing you want to think about is to be grateful to God. How many billions of people on the planet, how many of them are supposedly Catholic, and how few of them have what we have. But this is a privileged Mass because it's not one that everyone comes to. It normally is not on a Sunday, and so only those people who have the time and ability come to a Mass like this. But this is special this year because this Mass is on a Sunday, so everyone has to come. Everyone who responds to grace, that is. And so these words that begin this Mass and are repeated in the gradual, and it's repeated out throughout this day, this last day of preparation, these are actually words from the Old Testament, words from Moses. These are the words that Moses told the chosen people. And he said, "Today you will know that the Lord is coming. And tomorrow you will see his glory." Those are the words of the introit. Now, of course, we all know what that means. Today, we know, that's why we're here, that Christmas is tomorrow, and tomorrow we will see the glory of God. We will see the Son of God in the flesh. When Moses said those words, he was telling those chosen people that here in the desert, we are going to see God's power, and it's going to be seen tomorrow. And how it was seen was when they came out of their tents that next day, they found all around them in their camp manna from heaven. This was God showing his glory. He fed them in the desert. He gave them this bread from heaven. Now we see in more the reason why Holy Mother of the Church, led by the Holy Ghost, gives us these words on this last day. Because in that house of bread, that's what the word Bethlehem means. In that house of bread, the true heavenly bread will appear tomorrow. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you can see what the importance of this day is, which is often not seen by everyone because they're not here on a Sunday, when this day is not celebrated on a Sunday. So that's our first thing, just to recognize that. We also want, using the collect of this Mass, which sums up one of those themes of Advent, which unfortunately has maybe not had the time because we missed one Sunday, in a way, the fourth Sunday of Advent. One of those themes which those of us who were at benediction last Sunday were able to hear about. So I did not see who was here, so I don't know how many heard it last Sunday after benediction. Father just came up and gave a quick talk. But for everybody, it's good to know this because it wasn't perhaps... So we want to talk a little bit about the collect of today's Mass, saying that we who are preparing for the coming of our Lord, which we receive with great joy and happiness, may it be that strength that we can receive him at the second coming without any fear. And that's that theme that we want to just talk about for a second before we go into the... Because one of the main personages, as you have heard about, we have Isaiah the prophet, so prominent in the season of Advent. We, of course, have the Blessed Virgin Mary, which we, of course, know that everything is under her auspices, and that is where we are today in spirit. We are in her church. That's the stational church for today. We are in St. Mary Major, where the relics of the actual manger are. That's where we are in spirit. That's where the church gathers, at the stational church. And then we have St. John the Baptist, obviously. But so we want to talk about that a little bit as we talk about this collect, coming of Christ, and his second coming. But we really want to talk about who comes out on this very last day of Advent. We think of the scripture where our Lord praises, and we've heard about it in great detail, St. John the Baptist. And then he says, our Lord says, and the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Our Lord said that. As great as St. John the Baptist is, there is no man born of woman greater than St. John the Baptist. These are the words of our Lord. These are the words of God. They are true. But then he says, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than the man who is the greatest born of woman. He's talking about the person the Holy Mother of the Church puts before us this last day of Advent, which again, unfortunately, most people are not privy to because they're not able to come to that Mass. But today we're here. And of course, we're talking about St. Joseph. So we want to talk about the collect, which gives us the opportunity to say something about that theme, one of the themes of Advent, and then we want to talk about St. Joseph. First, that theme. The theme, of course, is that we are getting ready for the coming of Christ at Christmas, and we recall his coming among us as a child, as an infant. But it is also the coming of our Lord at the end of time. And we cannot go into great detail about that. There is so much to be said. We ourselves, and maybe you've heard some of these things, maybe in sermons too, but we've had conferences over the decades, really. That's how much we can talk about it. What we know about the second coming, the parousia, that's what the Greek for it, the second coming of our Lord. We know a lot about it. Of course, our Lord said we do not know the time, the day or the time, the hour. But yet we have a lot of, because he even said to us, when you see these things happening, look up. Your salvation is near at hand. So we know certain things. And so we want to just tell you some of those things. Again, not as much as we should or anything, but just to tell you this, because yesterday, just because it happened to fall, it was the Ember Saturday of Advent, and so it fell yesterday, and the next day is the vigil, which is not usually the case. And it's, we can't go through all the reason what the greatness of the Ember Days is, but we will just tell you this. One of the, it's sorry, and this, it's all about the ordination of the priests and things like that. And it's interesting that the epistle for that day, yesterday, is talking about this theme of the parousia. And so we wanted you, oh, by the way, because Father's talked about these things so many times in the past, so anything I'm saying, of course, is nothing new. Just so we have that straight. So this is from St. Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians. And just to put this, just to say this about the Thessalonians, a Greek colony that he worked with these people. But what's significant is these are the first people who have received a writing from St. Paul. These are the first epistle that he wrote chronologically is to the Thessalonians. And this is the second one to them. And it's chapter 2. And now, this is not what St. Paul wrote, but the scripture scholars have annotated it for us. And the chapter is called The Second Coming of Our Lord. We're not going to read it verbatim. We're just going to pick out excerpts. He says, let no one deceive you in any way, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and is exalted above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God and gives himself out as if he were God. We cannot begin to unpack those words of the Holy Ghost. We have to just leave you with the fact you've heard them. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I used to tell you these things? He told them all of these things about what would happen in the end. And now you know what restrains him, that he may be revealed in his proper time. And everyone speculates about what is that that restrains. He doesn't call him this. St. John, the evangelist, tells us he is called the Antichrist. People say, the scripture scholars say, speculate, but one of the things restraining him is St. Michael the Archangel. For the mystery of iniquity, that is, the mystery of evil, is already at work, provided only that he who is present, who is at present restraining, does not still restrain until he has gotten out of the way. So that's a little bit He's saying that that person is the Saint Michael the Archangel who is restraining this Antichrist and Satan's work. God will say, step aside and let this final phase of the world happen. And then he says, and we all know how horrible that's going to be. We're living through some terrible times right now. You can imagine what the real end of the world will be like. We feel persecution, but as St. Paul himself said, we have not suffered unto blood yet. There are Christians in the world that are suffering unto blood. You probably heard these, you hear these stories of these little Christian children. I don't know the details of this little girl. I forget, she's 8 years old or something. And they're crucifying her. That you do know that's happening, right? You do know that there are Christians being martyred for their faith. We just bumped into someone, a Chaldean Catholic, just this week. She was in a public building. I came in. She kissed my hand. I said, do you have family back there? Yes. I said, I understand. I hope you know that. We have not suffered unto blood, but our brethren are now. So as bad as it is, we know the end times will be worse. But here's what St. Paul says, not to leave them all. And then the wicked one will be revealed when whatever this restraining person, St. Michael the Archangel, is taken out of the way. Then the wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. That coming, the second coming. So as horrible as it all is, and all those great heroes of those days, we all know that our Lord, it says, just with the breath of his mouth, he will destroy, and all will be vindicated. So there, went into that way more than we wanted, but that is just the theme, because the collect is saying that second coming, we who are receiving him with joy and happiness right now as we renew that first coming as an infant, that is the sign for us not to be afraid when he comes again and he slays the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth, because we'll be with him. We'll be with our Lord. We will be vindicated. Okay, now we have to quickly move to St. Joseph. Oh, there's so much in this Mass, obviously. You know that. Hopefully you've been reading the Mass text each day so you can be absorbing these great graces that God is giving us. It was just pointed out this one little detail just to show you how much is in there. Oh, by the way, it's so much different or so blessed of this day. There are actually parts of the Mass text that are not done except when this day falls on a Sunday. You may have seen that. There's an Alleluia verse that is not done except when this comes on a Sunday. The Alleluia verse saying, tomorrow the iniquity of the world will be blotted out. And, of course, the Creed is done today. But there's a little detail in the gradual, which I'm just sharing because it was something interesting to me. Because, again, that whole idea of the words that Moses told the people, tomorrow we will see the glory of God in this heavenly bread that will appear. Well, if you remember, they would move through the desert and they would surround the tabernacle of the Lord. This is where, and the cherubim, the little statue of the cherubim were over this holy of holies. Can't go through all the detail here. And there was a little Shekinah, it was a little cloud that would, it was the appearance, it was the Holy Ghost taking this appearance over this Ark of the Covenant inside this tabernacle where they kept remnants of the manna and the Ten Commandments and the staff of Aaron. They kept this in the Ark of the Covenant, and God showed his presence by the Shekinah. Well, you can see why we call the tabernacle the tabernacle. And then what the 12 tribes did, they would set up their camp, and they would surround the tabernacle. And so they have 3 tribes on the north, 3 south, 3 east, and 3 west. And what that gradual is talking about is when the people would, you know, assemble, and then they'd have to move because they spent 40 years in the desert moving. They'd all assemble and they'd start to march. They would march surrounding the tabernacle in their formation. They'd have the 3 tribes lead and 3 on each wing. And then there were 3 tribes in the back. Those are the 3 that are mentioned in the gradual. Ephraim, Manasseh, and I forget the last one there. Those were the 3 that were following, because it says there, and they watched the glory ahead of them. They were the ones watching the Shekinah lead the people. Okay, St. Joseph, and you have to really condense this, unfortunately. See, this is the thing about St. Joseph. He is the least in the kingdom of heaven, is still greater than St. John, but here he is. He's getting, unfortunately, he's not. In our heart, he's not. But we just have to cut to the heart of this. Because here is given at this last day, St. Joseph. And St. Jerome, in today's commentary on the gospel, tells us why God set these things up this way. And he says, these are the reasons why things happened as they did. Because this is all about this doubt of St. Joseph. It was not, we already know this, but we're just saying again, to those poor benighted souls out there that are so shallow, they think, oh, St. Joseph saw the Blessed Virgin Mary expecting a child, and it wasn't his child. And so by law, he was to denounce her, and she would be stoned as an adulteress. That's the shallow. I say shallow because they haven't even read the words. It says right there, the Holy Ghost, through St. Matthew, was telling us, St. Joseph, her husband, was a just man. That means he's a holy man. So we know that's not what he was thinking at all. And St. Jerome goes to tell us why. Why? Because the prophecy was, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah through Advent telling us that. So why is it here in the gospel, all of a sudden we're hearing it's a betrothed virgin? Oh, by the way, that means they were married, but they were not living together yet. Okay? Why was she a betrothed virgin? And St. Jerome tells us, first, so that we could trace the Davidic lineage. Because you see, St. Paul in the epistle tells us that he was to come is the son of David. And in the gospel, it tells us that St. Joseph was of the line of David. So first thing is, that connects the offspring to the line of David. And the Jews would marry in their own tribe to preserve these traditions. So the fact that the Blessed Mother married somebody from the tribe of David is assuring that lineage. Because the bloodline does not come from St. Joseph, obviously. He goes on to tell us, St. Jerome, he is the protector, saving the Blessed Virgin Mary from the stoning that would be done to anyone who was an adulteress. So he is saving her from that. He is going to be her protector when they have to flee to Egypt. And the fourth one, and St. Jerome says, I am taking this fourth one from St. Ignatius, the martyr bishop of Antioch, who lived what, 300 years earlier than St. Jerome. He's saying, this is the fourth reason I'm giving you. He's telling us, because this was to fool the devil. The devil, expecting a virgin, would dismiss the Blessed Mother as a married woman. He did not know of the miracle. So this is all the reasoning behind that. And of course, why was St. Joseph hesitant? He didn't denounce her. He was thinking, well, what should I do? I'll just kind of leave her alone and do this privately. Why was he saying that? And we know he was afraid. Why was he afraid? We know he was afraid because the angel then says to him, do not be afraid. So we know he was afraid. What was he afraid of? Because he was a holy, just man. He knew the Blessed Virgin Mary. He knew that there was no sin in her at all. So what was happening had to be something divine. And he felt inadequate to be part of it. That was his fear. And so the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That is, have her come and live with you now. Because that which is born of her is the Son of God. And you will call his name Jesus, which means Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. We have to stop that. The only thing we'll just say is this, as we continue with this day, which is a privileged day, because it's on a Sunday, not for the pagans, doesn't make a difference to them, makes a difference to us. It is truly a day of rest for us. We're not in the normal Christmas mode today of racing around on Christmas Eve trying to do everything. Hopefully we've done that already. We are being forced to rest today and get ready for our Lord. And recognizing that this is the day, we know this is a day that the Lord will come. And tomorrow we will see his glory. Knowing these words of Moses, when we receive Holy Communion today, that's what we should have in our heart. And the communion verse and the post-communion talk about it, especially the post-communion. And this is a day to rest in that. It says, Lord, ease our burdens. Help us in our struggles through the mystery of your body and blood. Those are the last words we'll pray at this Mass as we go back into the world to prepare for the coming tonight of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you.